Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, the Chiefs and Jags tonight down in Jacksonville. Pre-game coverage starts at 4 o'clock right here on 96.5. The Fan. Briscoe will start our coverage. And, of course, during the game, Mitch Holthus, Danan Hughes, Josh Klingler, and then post-game coverage with Briscoe right after that, right here on your home for the Chiefs. Chiefs, by the way, 3.5-point favorites, total sitting at 45.5. We'll get our final game predictions in the 1 o'clock hour today.
Next up on Watch Trending, charges against former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez have been upgraded amid an investigation into the stabbing incident. It includes a couple of felonies. They upgraded 5 charges overall. Obviously, he was hospitalized with multiple stab wounds following an incident with a 69-year-old delivery driver. Details still waiting on that, but at least the police department held a press conference today saying they were upgrading a couple of those and adding a new charge as well. So Mark Sanchez's legal issues continue.
Yeah, weird scenario that played out in Indianapolis over the weekend. Elsewhere, MLB postseason continues. Blue Jays are up 2-0 on the Yankees in one of the ALDS. You got Seattle and the Tigers knotted up at a game apiece. They're both off today. And then on the NL side, we got 2 games this evening. Dodgers-Phillies, the Dodgers up 1-0. Cubs-Brewers up 1-0 in their respective series. Postseason baseball. I'll be excited during the week. We get away from the weekend of football because so many of the games overlap with college football in the quadruple header on Saturday. Then yesterday, tonight, same thing, the Chiefs game. We get to like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the midweek games. I'll enjoy it a little bit more when I actually will be locked in.
I think that, yes, I agree with the midweek game part of it, but also that's just the way it is when you got Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Next up on What's Trending, Kansas State lost over the weekend on the road to Baylor, blocked field goal, ended up losing that game for them. KU won a close one against UFC 27-20 against UCF. Missouri's off. Obviously, they've got Alabama this weekend.
WNBA Finals took place over the weekend, and now the Las Vegas Aces have a 2-0 lead over the Phoenix Mercury. And then things get very interesting in the offseason for the WNBA with all the stuff going on with their commissioner and also CBA related. It can get very, very ugly over the next few months. But it looks like the Las Vegas Aces are about to win the WNBA.
Certainly looks like it, and good for them. Obviously a hell of a season so far. We'll see if they actually close it out against the Phoenix Mercury. Lastly on What's Trending, the KC Current didn't play this weekend. They're actually in action tonight. It's Angel City FC. Difficult timing for them, obviously. But if you're looking to split screen it, Chiefs tonight. But so are the KC Current, who will be in action.
And Sporting KC over the weekend dropped 1-3-0 to Minnesota. So that's where things stand for Sporting. They're now 7-6-20 on the season. Don't forget on Mondays to stop in our friends over at 30 Hop. They're our Monday lunch partner on Cody and Golden. Today, $5.99 classic burgers. Perfect opportunity to stop in before the Chiefs game tonight as well. 30 Hop, your new go-to in American bar and kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, expansive patios, and an unbeatable happy hour. So check them out in Lee Summit or just down the street from our studios, actually, in Merriam, Merriam's Grand Station. Proud lunch partner here on the show. Stop in for lunch. Stay for a little happy hour. 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio. We will get to stock up, stock down here in about 7 minutes or so. But you know who could raise their stock tonight? Obviously, it is the Jacksonville Jaguars, based off of where that franchise has been for a while. Now, they've had big playoff games. They've had an AFC title game in the last, 10 years or so. But this is the biggest non-playoff game to this point this year, yes, but in general, that they have had. Like, later on in the year, there might be a bigger non-playoff game, okay? They might play the Colts to decide a division in week 15 or whenever they play again. I get that. But I'm saying, to this point, this is the biggest non-playoff game the Jags have had in a very, very long time. They're a team, as much as we say the Chiefs offensively, it's a confirmation game. How about this, the Jags in the Liam Cohen era, the beginning of the Liam Cohen era as their head coach? If they beat a team like Kansas City, who has been the class of the NFL for 7-8 years, if they can win tonight, they get to 4-1. People really are buying in on the Jags and Liam Cohen. It probably also means Trevor Lawrence plays well, because they're 3-1 or whatever, and Trevor Lawrence hasn't played well yet. So I just think it's a big game in terms of fan buy-in for them, national narrative for them.
Their division's really tough because the Colts.
All of it changes. I don't think they're going to win tonight, but this is a huge game for Jacksonville. As much as it is for Kansas City, it's a statement opportunity for Jacksonville, which makes this one a little scary, I think, from the outside, if you're looking at it, that this is a Jags team that's not, you know, not going to be pushed over by any means tonight.
I'm not saying that it hadn't been treated that way for a long time, because it obviously had been. But I do genuinely view this game as being even more of one of those, like, we're going to make our statement to the league tonight games for a team than we've seen in a little while. The Ravens know what they've played a lot of big games against the Chiefs. They know they make their statements in the playoffs if they're going to make a statement against them. And even the Chargers, right, in a way, they face them twice a year. They get lots of opportunities to make a point. The Jags, if people are to take them seriously, and I'm sure that they want people to take them seriously, they need this one tonight. And you're right in the sense that it is the one thing that will make everyone fully believe in them and think that they are serious, because the story on the Chiefs is still incomplete in the sense that I think people have moved the goalpost a little bit. And look, it's not way unfair. The Ravens are awful. The Chiefs made a bad team look bad. Good. That's what they're supposed to do. But the Ravens at this point look lost. So right now, the Chiefs' wins are the Giants, a not very good football team, who did beat the Chargers in fairness, but a not very good football team. And the Ravens, a team that is lost at the moment. Their two losses are against two teams we would expect to be in the playoffs, the Chargers and the Eagles. So in a way, I feel like it's kind of a statement game for both. It's obviously a much bigger franchise game for the Jaguars. Yes. Chiefs playing Super Bowls with an S. This isn't like a franchise statement game for them, but it is a statement game in some ways in the, let's make a point of, we beat good teams too. The Jags are 3-1. They're fighting for their division early and often. All of those things are in play. But the Jags, it just feels like this might be their biggest regular season game in 5 years. I mean, were they playing for a division?
No, I think that's fair.
The year they beat the Chargers, they like playing for their division week 15 or 16, and I don't remember it.
Probably so. If that the last year they were in the playoffs, yeah, they probably had to win that last game to lock up a playoff spot.
And so maybe that one. So it's the second most important. They got a lot on it. Liam Cohen has to make a statement to the league that he can still coach offense too. Because the I'm just saying early.
Yeah.
Their offense does not look right yet. And this is his chance in order to do it. I can't figure out, and I'm not going to make any determinations on what I think of Liam Cohen as a coach yet.
Duval.
I didn't think it was going to be great when he said that, admittedly. But I mean, I guess it was better than Adam Gase's press conference.
The eye wandering.
Yeah. I still think he was on something. I don't know, man.
He was following like that old Windows 98 screen where the Windows thing's bouncing off the corner of the screen. That's what Adam Gase's press conference looked like.
Yeah, something like that. And so when you look at where they are, I'm curious to see how they end up showing up tonight. Because if it's the Jags, and this is the other part, it's always too hard to take the Jags serious because they're a joke. They've been a joke. How about that? And they've been not a complete joke under Trevor Lawrence, as in they're not a laughing stock. They're not the Raiders. They're not like one of these, the Browns. They're not one of these teams that we just like endlessly mock, but they have been irrelevant for a long time. And so part of me is like, I have a hard time taking you serious because of the franchise that you are.
The Chiefs have won, I think it's 8 in a row against Jacksonville. You know, I think that's something that doesn't impact the current group. Some of that goes way, way back, but still, as we're having the conversation, just franchise-wise, how big of a win it could be for Jacksonville. But as we discuss at 11 o'clock, I think it is still a confirmation game offensively for Kansas City tonight. Like, confirm what we saw against the Ravens from an offensive perspective, that is real. And especially after the Ravens defense getting destroyed again, and we all know they just flat out suck as a football team.
They're the worst defense in the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that the division, the AFC North is hilarious because two of the worst right now points per game defense in the NFL, the Ravens and the Bengals, are in the same division. And one of the worst offenses in the league, in the Cleveland Browns, is in that division. They have one of the best defenses. So which version of it is it gold is certainly part of that conversation. But yeah, I mean, if their fans are going to just not believe, they're going to be like, I hope we get somebody else at quarterback. They're going to, if they lose to the Chiefs, they're going to be like, well, right back where we were. Who have the Jags beat, by the way? Who are their three wins?
San Francisco.
That was a good win. The Panthers,
Carolina.
Right? Okay, that's not a good win.
And then the Texans.
I don't know what to say about that Texans win. Divisional game. I'll always give you a little bit more credit for that. The Texans up into that game had looked pretty bad. But also the Texans are not, I don't think they're going to be a laughing stock this year. So I don't know. Two respectable wins, I would say. And one nothing win. Being the Panthers doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. But then look, people will point to the Chiefs and say they beat the Ravens and Giants, right? People will point to that, and the fact that the Chiefs defense has been as good as they have, other than week one against the Chargers, even in the loss to Philly and obviously in the last two wins. That's where today, as I try to figure out, like, what's the path look like if Jacksonville were to pull off the upset? And again, the Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites. I don't believe Jacksonville can win just by saying we're going to hope that we just turn Kansas City over a bunch and the same formula, we're just offensively going to be average and rely on ETN. I think the Chiefs will protect the football better than some of the opponents we just mentioned that the Jags have faced. But I think Trevor Lawrence has to play very well for the Jags to win tonight. And normally you're like, no kidding. It's just, but they have won without him playing well is the point. And I don't believe you can beat a team like Kansas City with the way the Chiefs defense is playing at this point without your quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, having a fairly special night. And we're going to find that out later on this evening. I get it. But I just don't believe the sustainability of +9 turnover margin and having all the, I look at the quarterbacks that they have faced. They being the Jags. I don't believe they're turning over the Chiefs multiple times tonight.
No, and I don't either. And I think that would be kind of, I guess, foolish of them to assume that based on just what we've seen out of them so far this year. I wouldn't put that anywhere near that category. But that's, again, that's the issue as we talk about what to think about the Jags and outside of there. I know the text line's asking whether or not Xavier Worthy is going to be able to play. All reports are, and you can play, yeah, Ian Rapoport earlier today, certainly made it seem like he would.
The Kansas City Chiefs had a little sort of injury scare, I would say, yesterday. Xavier Worthy popped up on the injury report with an ankle along with his shoulder. My understanding is kind of just turned his ankle a little bit, woke up swollen. They put it on the report. He is fine. He is expected to go more of a precaution than anything else. Worthy has been excellent since he returned, playing with that torn labrum. And then Trayvon Walker.
We don't need to hear about Trayvon Walker. He's probably not going to play for the Jags tonight. But the first part for me and Rapoport this morning on Xavier Worthy, Cameron Wolf also had a report about that. Everybody kind of at this point nationally acknowledging that Worthy's going to play tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's precautionary. Now, the question is, if it's rainy, if the conditions are weird, Gold, do you want to limit him? And this is the hard part. Andy, I thought they would limit him in the first game. I thought they'd lay back a little bit against the Ravens and maybe give him 70% of his normal workload. They did the exact opposite of that and worked him into his full potential. But there is a part of me, man, that really wants to protect Xavier Worthy. And maybe it's for selfish reasons, because I want to see the entire offense in its complement all together, at least for a damn game sometime in the following, all of last year. And at this point, the first four games of this year. And if we get through tonight and Xavier Worthy's healthy, only one game left to get through. And then maybe we will, and Hollywood's healthy, we'll get through the entire six-game stretch and finally get to see their action. I'm not worried about Worthy playing tonight. I think it's just precautionary. It was a weird thing, though, last night. When I said that to you.
Yeah, the Chiefs, like, all of a sudden the Chiefs put him on the injury report as required to, know any sort of, even if someone came down with a stomach bug or something, they're supposed to report that. And so they were going through that process. Clearly, it must have swelled up a little bit enough to where they had to officially list him as questionable, but all accounts, he is going to play tonight. All right, guys, let's get to a little stock up, stock down. I'll start us off with someone whose stock never should have been all that down, but I just feel like he's an easy target for people. Stock up, Dak Prescott. Thank you very much. I know they're just 2-2-1 on the season. This is the argument against, hey, QB win stats, like for those that are anti that, this is your argument, because the Cowboys are 2-2-1, and a lot of that's because their defense just is horrendous. Second most points given up through the first 4 weeks. And that was yesterday, a team that destroyed the Jets. So, so impressive, even if the Jets stink. Dak Prescott is like first in total yards. He's fifth in scoring on offense. He himself is second in both completion percentage and passing yards, I believe, in the league. And actually, he might be first after yesterday. He has the second highest overall PFF grade of any quarterback in the league. Like, he is playing awesome football right now. And yet the Cowboys, because they're 2-2-1, of course, people are going to assume that he's not playing all that well. He's doing without CeeDee Lamb the last couple weeks. I just think when you have a defense that's that bad, it also puts more pressure on you. Dak Prescott deserves more credit than he's getting. Stock up.
I think last week we were talking about it. And I know it was weird because they were 1-2-1, so they're still below 500. And they're, I'm not saying they're playing great football, but yeah, Dak Prescott is playing some of the best quarterback in the NFL this year. The way they talk, I can't believe they're not talking about Dak Prescott the way they talked about Joe Burrow's squad last year. It's not Dak Prescott's fault that his team is 2-2-1. His ass is doing everything to drag that team up and has him at 500, and that is without his number one weapon in CeeDee Lamb. So I've been very impressed.
He might end up being, you know, comeback player of the year. He's the favorite along with Christian McCaffrey right now, and he's got a strong case for it.
My stock up is Dan Campbell and Jared Goff together in the post-Ben Johnson era. Admittedly, they're not playing a murderer's row of defenses, and I understand that. But if you start looking at the Lions' points per game, the Chiefs' opponent from a week from now, they're number one in the league, scoring almost 35 points per game. They put up 37 on Cincinnati, 34 on Cleveland, one of the better defenses in the entire NFL, 38 on the Ravens, a team who's a joke, 52 on the Bears. The only team that seemed to hold them down was the Packers, who held them to just 13. Since then, it doesn't seem like there's some post we're missing our offensive coordinator hangover. They got the number one offense in the sport. So that makes Dan Campbell look good. Makes Jared Goff look good. Like, it wasn't just Ben Johnson saving their offense this entire time. So I'm going to say their stock is
they still have a crazy amount of playmakers on offense. I mean, is Amon-Ra St. Brown to go with David Montgomery, LaPorta, and Jameer Gibbs.
It's probably the best weapons in this.
Is nuts. Absolutely nuts. Not to mention Jameson Williams.
It feels like there's a ton of different directions to go with stock up in the world of college football. So many good players. Ty Simpson, I think, his stock is continuing to rise. Bink is super high on him. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in all of college football. He's in the Heisman race. I think he's second, I believe, behind Dante Moore. Not getting any NFL draft buzz. He is eligible, but you know, for the job that he's doing at Alabama, he is really proving that he's a legit quarterback, and waiting that time at Alabama was well worth it because of how he's starting out to play. And Kalen DeBoer is certainly happy he stuck around as well.
Mizzou, Alabama coming up this weekend. They'll get a firsthand look at Ty Simpson. All right, opposite, we go stock down. I'll stick with college football too, Drew, for stock down.
All right.
Arch Manning. I have not been impressed. It seems to me that now the comments from his grandfather before the season saying his son wasn't going to declare for the draft are going to end up being correct. There's no way his son's declaring for the draft. He's not ready, plain and simple. Texas has other issues as well. This is not all on him. They just lost to Florida over the weekend. And so Texas was number 9 in the country. Did they fall all the way out of the top 25?
Yep, they're out.
They're all the way out of the top 25 now.
27th.
They've got some other issues besides him, but he just hasn't been that impressive. He also had back-to-back drive-ending interceptions in that game against Florida. Just not impressed so far.
It's not easy to play quarterback in the SEC. Also, is your first year as a starter.
He was the Heisman favorite week one.
That was his first game on the road against an SEC opponent.
That's not his fault, by the way. It's not his fault that he was Heisman favorite. I'm just saying. He was the Heisman favorite, and that looks so laughable.
What was Missouri up to in the most recent top 25?
Missouri's at 14, I believe. Okay. Yes, it's number 14 against number 8, Alabama.
Nice.
I really thought it was going to go south there for Alabama there in a hurry. Although, I'll still say, Alabama fans will still be out for blood if they lose to Missouri. That's one of those losses for Alabama fans. They're like, Missouri? They look down on you for sure. My stock down is Jonathan Gannon for more than one reason. One, they continue to lose games in absolutely heartbreaking fashion. Second, he's now physically assaulting players on the sideline. Come on, man. Be cool. I understand he's wearing pads, and it probably looks worse than it is, but you don't just physically hit players on the sideline where people can see it. Mostly, it's not his fault. His player dropped the ball on the one-inch line, right? Not his fault. He didn't do anything wrong to be there, and he's rightful to be angry at that player for doing it. He's the one who let everything unravel after that. Keep it together, man. Keep the team together.
I could
they
not
They fell
believe.
Apart at the seams after that.
That is one of those, if you had the Cardinals in Survivor, or just the Cardinals to cover, that is one of the most disgusting.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty gross.
Bad beats. You are not just for this year. It's nothing will top that this year. That is an all-timer. That's one of those that like 20 years from now, you're joking with your buddies about bad beats or Survivor losses. And you're like, hey, remember in 2025 when they were up 21-6 and Di Mercado had a 50-yard touchdown and for whatever reason he dropped the football before crossing the goal line and they were still up 21-6. And then did you remember that the Cardinals forced an interception and picked the ball off of Cam Ward and yet the Titans still scored a touchdown on that same play? Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that. This is an all-time bad beat. And yeah, Jonathan Gannon, I saw the video. I think it's one of those, you're probably right, where it looks way worse.
It's a pretty firm hit, though, man. You can't do that with players.
Cameras are around, too.
If it were the other way around, and Patrick Mahomes hit a coach in the chest what would we be saying?
Yeah.
That's the only point about it. It's not like a double standard. You're not allowed to just beat him up because they're a player and you're the guy in charge.
I mean, yeah, so now, like, I agree with you. Beat it up is also a mischaracterization.
It's stating over. It looks worse than it probably is, genuinely. But also, just don't do it. I know you're mad at the guy. You're right to be mad at the guy. I can't stock down any.
Like, I don't get why play. Someone has to explain to me. Truly, explain to me. Someone that played the game, someone that coached, whatever. What is the reason you're having a huge play? Like, honestly, it would have sealed the game for the Cardinals, and you're a half inch from just being in the end zone. Then do whatever dance you want to do. And your celebration anyway isn't even good. Like, your celebration is just to just like casually drop the football. I don't get it. And you drop it right before you even cross the goal line. It makes zero sense. AD Mitchell did it a week ago. You had Amari DiMercato or whatever just do it in the Cardinals game. I don't get it whatsoever.
It's really tempting to say James Franklin here for stock down. I'm going to avoid that, though, even though his stock is...
Or should Neuheisel or what was it? And that in his kid,
Jerry Neuheisel should be on stock up is what he should have been. That man might be the next head coach over there.
I got to say, I thought it was a little silly that the Penn State fans were a little upset because he wasn't making a neutral call. He was excited for his kid. Can we make a pass? He apologized for saying, he said, I know I'm supposed to be neutral on this call. Rick Neuheisel was calling the game in which his kid got a call.
He was in the studio.
He was in the studio.
And he had said, I know I'm supposed to be a neutral party when it comes to games like this. Like, you don't have to be a neutral party. It's fine.
I think people should understand.
Yeah, that was actually pretty
good. He apologized, and I felt he didn't need to. That's all.
But my stock down is on Steve Wilkes, Jets defensive coordinator, and maybe it should also be on the head coach as well, of course, Aaron Glenn, because he's a defensive guy.
They've not shown up.
The Jets defense has really struggled in these games. I mean, not just against the Cowboys, but the least amount of points they've given up is 27 to the Miami Dolphins. It just seems like they're really struggling in regards to allowing points. You know, if you get in the red zone, efficiency in terms of just getting stops and trying to hold teams is really something that they're struggling with. I would expect more from a defensive-minded head coach and a defensive coordinator that at times has been really good. Back when he was with San Francisco, I'm a little... Plus with the defense that they have, I mean, they got the talent. Maybe it's just a Jets thing. I don't know exactly.
The Jets are just a joke is what it is. The Jets...
Ask Vinny about them tomorrow.
Tomorrow our NFL Insider returns. I'm sorry, Vinny. The Jets are just an absolute joke. It doesn't matter who the head coach is. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They flat out suck. The crazy Justin Fields stat is when teams score over 21 points against Justin Fields, he's 0-26. You better hope it's a 6-6 game if you want to win with Justin Fields.
He's not even playing bad. Justin Fields is not even playing that bad.
Yeah.
Oh, is the crazy 26?
Someone has said one bonus stock down Cincinnati. Well, we already know that already.
Then what have you been paying
attention
to?
Drew's still buying up more, I think, though. Based on a conversation we had earlier today, he's buying more stock.
We don't have time for it. We were going to pre-show conversation. The gist of it, and we'll let you have your own opinions, is I said Cincinnati has one of the worst defenses in the league.
They do.
Drew says they don't. They are a good defense.
He
said they're not
they're
a bad.
I said they're better than you think.
You said they're not a bad defense.
Correct. You made it sound like they're a league average defense.
I said they're better than you think.
I said they're awful. And then I pointed out a lot
it's
of
tough
stats.
When your quarterback is 8 picks in 3 games, you know, it's a little bit difficult.
That's not great.
Yeah, that's...
Dick Browning's stock is in the toilet.
They're a mess.
He might not make it to Halloween.
Correct.
Yeah, look, the good news
further than down.
The good news for Drew is Cincinnati is such a well-run franchise. They will get this all hey, corrected.
Hey, shout out to Barber. This version of the Bengals is the way that it would be if Sean Barber was running them.
Yeah, that Jake Browning would be better than Joe Burrow taking. He's like milk.
Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, especially in Cincinnati, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, let's talk about something that the Jags have struggled with this year, maybe an area the Chiefs can exploit. We'll also do a little random question of the day, right?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on Cody and Gold. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 8 minutes or so. It is a game day in Kansas City. Obviously, Chiefs-Jags this evening. Pre-game coverage begins at 4 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. In the 1 o'clock hour, we'll get our final game predictions. We'll also talk a little bit more about what we learned from NFL Sunday. We've already hit on Buffalo and New England a little bit. We'll talk about the Broncos, who got a huge win against the Eagles, the Chargers going down to the Commanders. So some big results in the AFC West versus NFC East that took place in week 5 of the NFL season. So that's coming up in just a bit. But there's been one thing that the Chiefs obviously have done more this year defensively, something that you would wonder what they try to do against Jacksonville, but I'm not so sure Spags will do it. That's based off of how well Jacksonville handles the blitz.
Well, a lot of this is the Jags just don't get sacked, partially because I think, and people don't blitz him because he gets rid of the ball in 2.57 seconds. Aaron Rodgers is the only quarterback who gets rid of the ball faster. Patrick Mahomes gets rid of the ball quick, and even he's not getting rid of it as fast as Trevor Lawrence. So what I was trying to decide is that a bad thing for the Chiefs who already don't have a pass rush? So if he's getting rid of the ball quick and he's already not getting sacked, that would not bode well for a team who Gold, I don't think, gets to the quarterback all that well, especially with their 4 down linemen. And can you blitz a guy who's going to get rid of the ball that fast? Can you get home, right? A lot of times when they blitz, they get to these quarterbacks who fade back, take a normal amount of time, throw them off of their rhythm. And the more I think about it, the more I think this might be advantageous for the Chiefs. Because part of the reason that he hasn't been sacked very much, and that he is getting rid of the ball so quick as they have zero deep passing game. It just so happens the Chiefs are the best efficiency team against the deep ball this year in addition to it. So just as long as they can guard the underneath stuff, this should be a fairly simple defensive alignment for the Chiefs, unless the Jags are thinking, finally time to open it up, yeah. Which would be a weird time because, again, the Chiefs are good at defending that. So if the Jags try to go opposite of what they have been this year, that plays into a strength for the Chiefs. So like the sack numbers might not matter tonight is what I'm saying. That might be less important than it has been for them in the previous 4 games.
It's about more than, you know, the first drive of the game, clearly. But that's what I bring that up because what's the approach for Jacksonville against this defense where Steve Spagnuolo will adjust better than anybody in football? And what different looks do they show the Jags? Are the Jags going to try to be a tendency breaker tonight? You just brought up that they don't really attack down the field or don't have success doing so.
They throw down the field less than any team in the NFL pretty much.
Tonight, are they going to try to? You know what I mean? Sometimes that stuff happens where you have all these trends for 3 or 4 weeks and a team will try to break their own tendencies and that's their approach. Now, I'm not saying it's going to work, but watch that maybe be more of a factor. This is why overall, like the Chiefs defense versus the Jags offense, that's what I feel best about in the game. I really do. I mean, I think the Chiefs defense has shown us time and time again this season. They are once again an elite defensive unit. The question is, can the Chiefs offensively protect the football? And can they show some of what we saw against the Ravens offensively against a much better defense in Jacksonville. Yeah. That to me is the game. It's the Chiefs offense versus the Jags defense.
Not the defense versus the, but I mean, if they can't get anything going, the Chiefs offense is not going to show much to get a win.
For sure. I just think that the Chiefs defense, I trust that even if the Jags get them on the first drive or whatever, that they will make the adjustment that's necessary to come up with the big stop when needed. Like, Spags has enough of a track record. They got too many guys on that defense that have a track record of doing it. Now they've got some younger pieces in the secondary that are starting to play some better football. No Williams, Jaden Hicks. So to me, that's not my worry. It's, can the Chiefs offense still be as explosive against a much better defense? And the confirmation that, hey, no, the offense has figured some things out. And more importantly, can they just not turn the ball over? Something the Chiefs have not done, but we know it's been the bread and butter of the Jags, and why they sit at 3-1 or whatever is because Jacksonville has the best turnover margin in football.
Where are the Chiefs at takeaways, I guess, this year? Because that Jacksonville's number one. We know that. They're taking the ball away. They're taking the ball away 3.3 times per game. Last year, by the way, they were, and this is not a joke, dead last in the NFL in takeaways. Dead last. They were third. They're first. They were 32nd last year in takeaways.
The Chiefs.
So this is quite the turn.
Right in the middle, Drew. 16th. 16th in the league. Mm. One per game is the, you know, the average break.
Pretty much what they were last year. Yeah, give or take. That's probably
1.0 so far. 1.1 last year.
Okay, so dead even, pretty much where they are.
The Jets are the only team in football without a single takeaway. They don't have a single one.
They don't have one?
No, they suck. They stink.
I know, but they don't have one.
Nope.
They haven't taken away once.
Not one. Period.
I mean, here's the thing about the Jags have been playing these close games, and they are taking it away, not just some, in astronomical rate. There's no way the Chiefs are going to be that careless with the ball. Sure, if they are, they'll lose. Chiefs give the ball away 3 times tonight. I'm sure they won't win this game.
Right.
That's not like hard to predict or assume based on that. But they're almost a full turnover higher than the next highest team. They're like more than double the league average. They just can't. I think that some of this is the opponents that they played. I'll just be honest. I think some of this is the teams who give it away the most without even looking. Now, of course, this stat kind of tells itself, so it's not really fair. If I looked up the teams that give away the ball the most, well, the teams the Jags have taken it away from the most are obviously going to be near the top of the board because they gave the Jags the ball a bunch. So it's not really going to be telling because it's not a long enough sample size in order to negate it.
Cincinnati has the most. Cincinnati and the Raiders have the most giveaways in football this year. It looks like 11 for Cincy, 10 for the Raiders.
My God.
And then a team like Minnesota is right after that.
Minnesota's giving away that much?
9 turnovers this year.
A little less discipline from his team than I would come to expect.
But they also, Minnesota, you know, takeaway-wise, I think it ranks out pretty good.
You know what's funny about that is when you talk about, like, giveaways, like, you talk about giving the ball away. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about how the Jaguars are the best team in the NFL taking the ball away. Do you know where the Chiefs rank amongst giveaways? Like, how often they give it away?
I do, only because I'm staring at it.
Second best in the NFL.
They have one.
So the only team who's given the ball away less than the Chiefs is the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you ask me which of the things is more likely to continue, the Chiefs protecting the football or the Jacksonville Jaguars taking it away three more additional times, I think it's far more likely the Chiefs won't give it away.
Yeah, and if the Chiefs get through tonight's game without a giveaway, the Eagles have played one more game, in fairness, but the Eagles have given away one time, the Chiefs have given away one time. Now, they played a full football game yesterday, so if the Chiefs can make it through tonight, then they would have the same track record as Philadelphia in that, and they would be tied officially for the best in football. They don't turn the ball over
if they don't give it away tonight.
Yep,
they'll also win if they don't give it away tonight.
Let's absolutely just really think it is.
Do you know what
simple,
their record
man?
Is when they're either even or ahead in the turnover differential? They win like 90% of their games with Patrick Mahomes. If that's the case, they've won 34 straight games in which they win the turnover margin with Patrick Mahomes,
especially against a team that has had to rely on that in order to win.
Right, like and that's the thing, exactly, Drew. That's their formula. Is like, can Jacksonville win without doing what you're saying? I don't know if they can. While we're mentioning crazy stats, the one that I still love so far. It goes back a couple of years. I mentioned this last week with Bob and Dusty when I was on with them. The Chiefs, it sounds so simple. Duh, have a lead. You're probably going to win.
Woo.
But the Chiefs, since 2018, are 65-7 when they lead after the first quarter. Okay? They win 90% of the time, And when they leave the first quarter, the last 3 years, the Chiefs are 30-0. If the Chiefs have a lead at the end of the first quarter, they are 30-0. Nope. The last time the Chiefs had a first quarter lead and lost the game was
Cincinnati NFC Championship,
AFC title game.
That's three full years.
That's why
ago.
The Chiefs are 30-0 straight up. So if you're watching the game tonight and the Chiefs have a lead, I'm just telling you, don't stress. I don't care if it's 3 points. I don't care if it's seven. Just, you know what?
If they're ahead after the first quarter, take a breath.
That's the Chiefs to win.
Literally, it's over. If they're leading after the first quarter, it could be 3-0, could be 7-0.
Now, this soundbite can come back to bite me in the rear. I understand that. But I feel very confident in saying I have 30 game sample size.
That's what has made the Chiefs great is, while they simultaneously do things like that, I just mentioned the stat of how many games in a row they've won when they win the turnover margin, what their record is. What actually makes them great is they're great at that, which is what other great teams are at. You win in the circumstances and when you're supposed to win. You have a lead in the first quarter and you never blow it. I'm always more or as equally impressed with their record when trailing by double digits, when losing after the first quarter, when losing the turnover battle. They have a winning record in all of those situations where the rest of the league probably has a combined winning percentage of like 250 or 300. They win more games than they lose in the situations where things go south. That's what's most impressive, Goldis. They could be down 10-0 after the first quarter, and I'd still be here to tell you they got a pretty good chance to win that football game versus if they've got the lead, it's done.
Yeah, if the offense is back, I'm with you. That's why tonight is such a comfort. In the past, that feeling was based on the offense being right again, and we'll see.
Random question.
The random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Love to interact with you over on YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch as well. Facebook, you like and subscribe on Twitch or YouTube. Top of your feed. Catch all the extra content we send over there as well, including game predictions, all that other kind of stuff. But when we're talking about this, the random question today was going to be on Drew's social media post, but because we covered that earlier today, that he was shirtless on Instagram on the station's
Instagram account.
I think it's important to note that it was the station's social
media
account.
Not his personal
account.
Yeah, the Fan 965 social media account, just shirtless.
I had to go through how many hours of training to get access to the social media?
Yeah.
And Drew can just post nipples over there? We can just do whatever we want?
The nipples were exposed.
It's just free to all over there?
Yeah.
In fairness,
Drew's launching his OnlyFans.
I kind of got the go-ahead from the boss to go ahead and you know, because of the shirtless pictures. It's like, you know, if you want to do a video while you're on a run, go ahead. If you want to, you know, get creative with it.
Do you always run shirtless? Just curious.
If it's warm?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. Just curious.
Pretty much always. Like, I'm not, when I'm running in November, when it's like 40 degrees outside.
Yes. That'd be
probably not running in a shirt. Or probably not
running without a shirt.
The weirdest part, real quick, I know you have your question. Anyways. The weirdest part earlier in the show, we brought this, or Drew brought it up first, actually, the Instagram post. And then proceeded to tell us, just wait till next week. It's going to get even better.
Uh-huh.
Which I thought was a threat to take his pants off. like a threat.
Which is not true. That's not going to happen.
There's only so many other places you're already down to like two articles of clothing.
Somebody on the text line did get it correct. Huh? They took a guess and they got it right.
For what now? Sorry.
Earlier?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes.
I'll have to look at the text line earlier to get it. Let's get to my random question, though.
Okay.
Very simple.
I think it's more juicy than she thinks.
Oh, sorry.
About once a week, we're good for a Would You Rather on this show. This time, it's about aging, something we've talked about as it relates to death and the other stuff. Now, I want you to remember, in this case, I'm going to go ahead and preface this. In this hypothetical, you are expected to live to between 85 and 90 years old.
This is going to be like the bird one?
No, it's not like the bird one.
Don't bring up the duck in the corkscrew.
I'm bringing up the duck.
Jeez.
Would you rather, from this point on, so Drew, your age, I'm my age, whatever.
Okay.
You are retired until you are 65 years old. You do not have to work. You have a comfortable living. Nobody's forcing you to work. You're good. You make money. You're good. You don't have to retire. And then you have to work the rest of your life from 65 until you die. Or they'll let you retire at 65 years old. Same phase. You're going to retire on the dot to the day, 65 years old, and then you're done. Would you rather be retired now during this block of your life or after 65?
Well,
Seems like you would enjoy this part of your life more.
I think there's a parameter, a couple questions, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, on the surface, I would answer, I think what happens a lot of times with people is they, you know, they work their ass off for much of their life, and then they don't leave any time to go and do what they want to do. At that point, maybe they have health problems or whatever it may be. So I would answer this on the surface just saying, no, rather now, if you had the quote-unquote retirement money now and all that, the same thing now, you could do that while you're healthy and younger and all that.
And free time,
then the answer would be now. Now, the only, to Drew's point, there's other questions like, I have kids still, maybe, or don't have kids still.
You can have kids now, spend more time with
them. If you're someone that has kids, like, how does that change it? So that's how I would answer it.
In my case, I would still get to just spend more time with my kids now while they're kids. Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, I would say if your kids ever have kids, you're done. You can't help them. You're just like, if they're like, hey, can you watch my kids? I gotta work. I'm working every day now. I'm 65 years old. I can't be an active grandparent, but I can be a more active parent.
Now, what if someone works in like a physically labor-intensive job, though, and you're telling me that they're working the same job when they're 70?
It doesn't have to be the same job. I don't care what job you get. Right. You're financially comfortable either way. I'm not forcing you into a line of work where if you work construction now, you got to work construction 65 to your 85. I guess hold the sign.
So it says they retire in 4 years, so they're done. So basically, in this hypothetical, they would start retirement now, and then when they're 65, they would have to work four more again.
I'm saying you have in this case, I understand if you're 60, this question doesn't work as well. But if you're like middle age, or if you could go back and you were 25 years old, which way would you choose? You could have just been retired 25 to 60, and then work 60 to 85.
Okay, so but is this okay? Is this working like?
Regular job.
Okay, so it's not like I just get a part-time job when I'm 65 and
Full-time. 40 hours a week. It's a comfortable living. You know, the normal amount of vacation, the normal amount of work. You don't get to go be a starter at a golf course. You got to work a full-time job.
I think the health rest part, of the time. I think the day. Health part is massive.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would definitely pick now till 65.
Yeah, you don't know what kind of health you're going to be in when you're 70 years old or whatever.
But that's going to make working suck.
Well, you know what? You already enjoyed your life, I guess, at that point.
That's a fair point, I guess.
Also, there are ways that you can also have a relaxed full-time living at 65 and not feel like you're...
That's not the question here,
you're
though.
Stressed out.
The question here is if you have to choose one or the other. Obviously, lots of people just work and then have a nice, relaxed 60. In this case, it's you're choosing which chunk of your life to work. I'm saying the job's the same, the work amount's the same.
And that's why I asked what the job is, because if you're labor-intensive... You know, now you're able to do it. You're not able to do it when you're 70, maybe.
And someone said from the 785, their dad's 86 and retired last year. Worked up until they're 85.
Wow.
Did he want to?
Or 86.
Because otherwise, some people want to. It keeps them active so they're not lazy and degrading on the couch.
My mother-in-law still works like a full-time job, and she could have retired by now. She just, I don't think she knows what she'd do with her free time.
Yeah.
And they like that money to like spend on their family or their grand, you know, like the additional money that they have around, you know. But my father-in-law's been retired for years now. Hung it up from the post office and doesn't regret
it. He worked for the post office for a while. That's nice. There you go. Good for him.
It was like 20 years in the post office. He still got his mail jacket hanging up in the garage. It looks battered. It looks like it's awesome. Worse. Every time I see him, I always think if I see him in like really inclement weather, there's like a foot and a half of snow on the ground. I'm like, I bet your ass is happy you weren't outside today.
I think it was.
That's a tough job when you got to be outside.
Just, and not that you wouldn't be able to, but at like 65, I feel like you wouldn't be able to get the full compass. Like if you're like, you know what, I'm gonna travel, you don't get the full compass, I don't think, of enjoying as much as you could traveling at 65 as you could at 35.
Plus I'm thinking there's got to be a lot of work from home opportunities when I'm 65. You know, I gotta think in 25 years I'm just like retired for a little bit.
I mean, if that's the job, I gotta 100%.
I gotta think that there's a good chance to find something by the end.
Yeah, someone says this, worked with a guy that was 81. He said the reason he did not retire is because all his friends that retired died soon after. I do think there is something to people. If you're, it depends. Are you active in your retirement though? Like, right? Are you going to the gym? Are you interact with people? Do you have a social life and all that? If you're just retired, you're just going to sit on your ass at home for 10 years. Well, yeah, you're gonna physically and mentally decline a lot quicker.
You got to find a hobby.
Yeah,
you got to be out there at the pickleball courts. You got to be doing stuff.
It doesn't even have to be that. I think just the mental interaction with people, the social interaction for your mental health too, like all of it. You know?
I find myself becoming more antisocial by the day. So I'm going to have to fight that in my older age.
Someone says, we'll get the show 20 years from now, Cody and old. Yeah. Well,
Ha.
Ha ha.
I come back around, We're both 60.
Someone says, easy, Drew.
They don't let anyone do this job till they're 65.
Someone says, I'm 61, and they run with their shirt on.
Hey, I want to be honest. If I saw you running and you decided to run with your shirt up, more power to you, man. Like, I think that's awesome. More power
to
you.
It would be less cringe if we had a 60-year-old randomly on our Instagram account on Saturday running shirtless, randomly on our account, than you shirtless. Less cringe if it was a 60-year-old.
I think that's debatable.
No, it'd be less cringe. That's debatable. Like, well, it's an old guy. Who cares? Let him do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, we do just start.
You can't.
I got to be honest.
It's true.
We all do the same thing socially. Like, old guy says something crazy, does something
you
weird.
Get away
like,
with it. You get away with it.
We do kind of like brush it to the side a lot faster.
I think that's a good
we
point.
Think it's kind of out it's of, a fair we point. Think it's out of
See,
hand, but we
someone,
do let it go.
Good for this individual. Good for you. This from the 816 said they sold their business at 50, financially stable. He's current, he or she, I guess, currently 57. They still DoorDash to make money on the side so they can enjoy their later years. Good for you.
Create your own schedule. Oh, it's great, I bet.
Let's all start a business together. That's always my plan on this show. What business do you think? Text line, here's a. I want you to answer this for tomorrow. So to answer now, tomorrow's random question is going to be, what business do you think the three of us could be successful at running?
Oh, gosh.
Tomorrow, during the random question, I will take your answers. I don't need your answers now. I want them tomorrow.
True, your OnlyFans doesn't count. That's not a true business.
What is our part of that business in this case? Just marketing?
I'm not marketing that.
It has to be a business the three of us work on together.
Together?
Together. As a group, as a team. Like we are as a show now. Man. You know?
Man. I don't know.
You wouldn't put like go check out Drew on Instagram. You wouldn't do that for this right amount of money?
No. Every time we do this convo, and I don't know if it's like if it's Drew's mom texting it or whatever, but it says every time you guys start talking about it's Drew not. On Instagram, all I hear is two insecure guys that can't take their shirt off in public. Well, this is a dumb conversation, but I must say real quick.
That was not my mom,
That's not the argument.
Shout out to this person.
If I go to the pool, if I go to the beach, I take my shirt off. I don't go on my station's Instagram account with my shirt off. I don't post shirtless photos all over my while I'm married while I'm all over my Instagram. That's the difference. That's the argument with Drew. Not that you can't take your shirt off at the pool or the beach or while like Drew
or running.
Or running. It's that is putting it on the station account is the odd part about it.
There's some suggestions on what not to have the business be.
Oh, okay.
And
not buying pallets off Amazon.
Well, yeah, we would lose our ass quick. We would lose our ass very quick.
We'll see. I'll take your suggestions tomorrow.
That's the random question of the day. Food trucks. Yeah, I don't know.
It feels like on our Instagram pages tonight. Shirtless?
Shirt on. Every week.
Not much of a selling point. Each
football game, we rotate it around. Tonight's my night, so I'll be on Instagram and Twitter at halftime and after the game with some quick reaction. Shirt on. Yep.
Okay. Just curious.
I can promise you.
For
I can guarantee
that. For those
who are
going to check out the Twitter and Instagram pages, I wanted them to know what to expect.
Yeah, I can promise the shirt will be on.
Okay. That's the random question of the day. Brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care.
All right, up next, let's get to what else we learned from NFL Sunday, including in the AFC West and the bizarre story in Indianapolis involving Mark Sanchez.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.